This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a few moments ago in the Kansas Jayhawks Colorado Buffaloes game, the voice of the dynamic Gus Johnson on the call. Craziest thing happened, John. Get this. So Colorado has this super talented cornerback named Travis Hunter. Heard of him?
Yes.
He's played, I guess you'd call him a two-way player.
He really sucks to play against on EA College Football 25, by the way.
It must be an absolute coverage nightmare both ways.
Yeah, not ideal.
Yeah, so craziest thing. So he's an elite cornerback, but also dynamic with the ball in his hands, however you can get it to him, and frequently plays receiver. May actually play both in the pros. So what they do is they run a screen pass to him, and get this, he goes 50 yards for a touchdown. How do you like that?
Yeah, it's wish we, you know, Patriots could do something like that. And this is a side discussion, but Travis Hunter, what is he going to get drafted as, and how could that affect the Patriots drafting come April? And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I actually think he's better as a corner than he is a wide receiver. And in the NFL, you're not going to play both full time. He'll play one full time and a little bit of the other, but it's he's better as a corner, but he'd make more money as a wide receiver. So, and depending on which he chooses, there might be some trade up scenarios for other teams, all this. So again, that's a, we can do that show in March, Fitzy, if you want.
Oh, that show's going to probably start happening in January, let alone March.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I would probably
last
say
last year we were already talking draft picks.
Oh, my God. After the Germany game, we had to pivot completely to the draft.
That was a week ago last year. Yeah.
It's awful. Absolutely awful. Hey, and side note, happy Butt Fumble Day yesterday to all who celebrate. It was the 12th anniversary of the greatest play in the history of all professional sports, not just the New England Patriots organization or the NFL.
That might have been the single most inept sequence of football ever, because what happened, the Patriots are up 7-0, Jets fumble, Shane Vereen takes a screen pass, I think it was 83 yards for a touchdown, then a couple plays later is the butt fumble, then the ensuing kickoff is fumbled and Julian Edelman returns for a touchdown. So
it was spectacular. I was so full of Thanksgiving mirth, you know, stuffing, dressing, potatoes, turkey, the dinner rolls, the whole shabam. And I was still jumping up and down all over my house like I was when I was fat little me 40 years ago on this day when the Flutie to Gerard Phelan pass went off. And I just want to say earlier today that Ken and Curtis were doing a sort of evergreen, fun, organic Mount Rushmore of greatest plays in Boston sports history discussion. And while it meant nothing more than the momentary joy and now 12 years of trolling the Jets, I got to say, I don't know if we're going to have time with what we have left here on the show, John, but if I were going to do a Rushmore of my greatest Boston sports moments and greatest Boston sports plays, I don't know how I leave the butt fumble out.
Well, and it's just, again, the Jets gave up in a span of like 4 minutes, they gave up one touchdown in all three phases of the game. Like, again, that's just like all time. And that was a Jets team, by the way, 2 years ago had beaten the Patriots in the playoffs. Earlier that year, the Patriots had beat them in overtime, and it's just like, it felt like that was when the wheels really came off and the tenure of Rex Ryan began its end.
That was it. Oh, it was glorious. Absolutely glorious. Before we get into the week that was for Gerard Mayo, because it really was not a good one, and it's one of the issues I'm having with the team right now is they struggle for an identity beyond Drake May. I call them the Matriots at this point. And not that he is the Matriot. They are the Matriots because it's Drake May and. You know, the whole idea used to be, you know, Jim Palmer and Pray for Rain or whatever they used to say. That's all you got right now. I mean, that is really, that's the show. That's the ticket. That's the vibe. He is everything. And I'm looking to see someone else emerge or an identity form with this team. And the God, coaching is so all over the place. And I understand they're trying to figure their way out. But I want to get into that. And I want to get your feel for it from the amateur flag football coach all the way to the former college football coach here in the program. But let's go to the phones. 617-779-7937. Let's welcome in the good people of Pats Nation, like my guy Dan in Cranston. How are you, Danny?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
You know, in New York, they call it a dirty Sanchez, the butt fumble. That's a different story for a different day.
That's allowed on Saturday.
Okay. Look, I hate going into weeks like this where I feel really strongly about something, and, like, I open my DraftKings app, I look at it, I close it, I look at it, I close it, and then today comes, and I have to take the Dolphins straight up, give them the points on the money line every which way possible. I just think there's come up in type of games, and these are the types of games that the Patriots usually never do well in, no matter who's the quarterback, like you guys were talking about. But the Dolphins, to me, seem to be getting their stuff together right now, and there's going to be a game where May just doesn't have it. And I think this is the one that's coming, especially if the Dolphins get up early quickly, like 10 or 14 nothing, and I think the floodgates are open. This is just a very, very talented team on offense. And especially if Gonzalez doesn't play, there's just so many things going against the Patriots right now. I mean, I hate watching like where I know I think they're going to get smoked. It's just a gut feel. I can't talk myself into saying that they're going to hang with them, you know?
I got
two touchdowns easily. That's the way I see it. Ooh, have a good day,
man.
Guys. Take care.
Hey, Danny, thanks for the call, buddy. Dan from Cranston usually tries to stay a little more positive, though critical at times of his favorite football team. I don't know. A two-touchdowner would be such a letdown because at least last week against the Rams, good start. You stall out. The Rams control the game. But they never gave up, and there was a belief. There was a fundamental belief for a moment at the end of the game, like, hey, maybe the kid's going to believe them back again. Hey, this could be a signature comeback. This could be huge. And then, sadly, of course, you know, heaven forbid, in a cover two with a nice soft opening down the middle that receiver and quarterback would be on the same page. But again, that's another one of these issues. We play the Travis Hunter audio because I think it was kind of embarrassing, a little bit less to AVP, but sort of on AVP and definitely on the coach and the entire operation, that your freaking offensive coordinator doesn't know that one of the most dynamic offensive threats you have plays slot corner, and he had to text your OC to see if he could actually get a play.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I've heard a lot of takes all over the spectrum so far this week on that issue, and I look at it as incompetence, to be honest with you, Fitzy, on a couple levels. One, if you're Alex Van Pelt, first of all, you're an offensive coordinator and the coach in the league, so you never came across that 2 years ago when it actually happened. But also, when you take over a team, you should know the personnel available to you inside and out. And it's not like the Patriots have Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Dante Stallworth, so they don't have room for Marcus Jones on offense, right? Like, you should know that personnel inside and out, and this is obviously an oversight by him. But I think the bigger blame is Jerod Mayo, Troy Brown, Tyler Hughes, even DeMarcus Covington, Brian Belichick, Mike Pellegrino, all these guys. Heck, Elliott Wolf was here as well in 2022. They all saw it happen, and I don't know if you agree or not, Fitzy, but I thought the single best play the Patriots had all year in 2022 was that touchdown Marcus Jones had against the Bills on Thursday Night Football.
So, it wasn't even close that that was the most dynamic play. Maybe so, that and the opening touchdown pass from Mac Jones to Aguilar on Thanksgiving night against Minnesota.
Yes, and he hit Hunter Henry on another good one that night, unfortunately. Not enough to win, but side note, none of those guys thought to bring that up. Like that, again, to me, that is just, and I've talked about this on this station many times. You have a rookie head coach, essentially a rookie OC. I know he's been in the league a long time, but he's not used to this position. A rookie DC, a rookie special teams coordinator, a rookie GM or EVVP, whatever you want to call it. So there's going to be growing pains, and there's going to be oversights. And obviously this is one of them. It's just what frustrates me is there's all these layers of incompetence and failure on this issue, right? Like whether it's AVP coming in and not knowing all the personnel available to him, which he should, or all these coaches and front office folks who were here 2 years ago when this happened and none of them thought to mention it at all. I mean, heck, if Marcus Jones hadn't sent that text, AVP still wouldn't know about it. Like, none of them thought to mention it. And that, again, Fitzy, that is what frustrated me, in that it wasn't like one guy made a mistake and had an oversight. You had all these people who failed to connect the dots and put together this could help the Patriots offense.
Drove me absolutely nuts as well. Let's squeeze in one more call before Tom catches us up on what is trending. Sean is on the phone. What's up, Big Sean?
Hey, man, how's it going? I'm friends with John Lyons. I just wanted to call in and say, how's it going, John?
Sean-O, what's up?
Not much, yeah. Talking about the path-wise, I think personally the Pats should keep losing their games so we can get a good draft pick coming up in the 2024 season. Personally, that's what I think. Even though Drake May is a stud, he's looking good for us. But personally, I think the Pats need a good wide receiver. We need to get a nice offensive core that can protect him. Personally, for Drake May, I think we should just lose the rest of the games. That's personally my take.
Appreciate the call, Sean. Thanks for shouting out your boy John Lyons. Does a whale of a job for us here on EEI. You know, here's the thing. Once the Patriots lost the first overall pick a few weeks ago when they beat the Bears, and I was glad they did because that was a big win. To me, that was like the first true win for Drake May, even though I know he gets credit for the Jets win. Maybe you're with me in lockstep on this, John, but losing begets losing. Losing begets losing, and you need to teach. You need to teach these kids how to win. You need Drake May to learn how to win. I want the rest of this season, in victory or defeat, it'll probably be more often in defeat, sometimes in victory, hopefully, you need to let him play out every available simulation and situation possible, which is why, again, I'm frustrated with Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo that they punt more often than go kick a field goal or let him go for it. The play calling, first and goal from the 7 last week, third quarter against the Rams, atrocious. Not going for the field goal when they were up 7-0. Put the hammer down. Put the pedal to the metal. Give this kid every opportunity to run every situation possible so that next year when you have a better team, and the year after that, if you, God forbid, are ready to make a run at the playoffs again. Although this year, considering the way that they've coached and how long they held him out, they maybe could have even been somebody who sniffed the wild card this season. But you need to get this kid ready for any and all permutations and variables possible on the football field. And the best way to do that is to be aggressive. There's your identity. We're aggressive. Week one, we were the take them to the hill gang. It was ground and pound. They knew what was coming at them before it actually happened. They were decisive. They were ferocious. They were tenacious. They ran hard. They hit harder. They won the game. It was very Belichickian of the old school. Since then, I have no idea who this team is. It's Drake May and, like I said a few minutes ago. And that drives me crazy. And this is where I feel like Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt either need to become supremely aggressive or just become super protect the kid or just let him hang it high and let it fly the rest of the way and learn so that by next year, and like I said, the year after that, when it really, really, really counts, year three of the 5-year deal, he's prepared.
Yeah, look, I'm anti-tank in general in the NFL, but especially once you have the quarterback. Like, the Patriots have that. So I would much rather have, say, 5 or 6 wins in the 7th pick than 3 wins in the 3rd pick, because what you don't want in football is for losing DNA to seep into your locker room. And that's the danger you have, because a losing season in 2022, a 4-win season and a head coach firing last year, if you have another 3-4-win season and you don't make a lot of progress, then guys start to say, all right, maybe we're never going to figure it out here. Maybe we're Drake May's fun, but we're still struggling to win 3 or 4 games, right? Maybe we're not going to get it right. And that's you look around the league. A lot of teams that get that in them, that losing DNA, it stays there. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns and all they've invested in. They still stink. And that's just one example. Or look how long it took the Detroit Lions or Cincinnati Bengals to turn things around and become a good team. And even neither one of those teams have won a Super Bowl yet. But at least they're, especially in the Lions' case, a great team now. And the Bengals were a couple of years ago. But once you get that losing DNA in you, it's really tough to get out. And I think the biggest things for this season is you want to walk away from it feeling good about Drake May as the future quarterback, which I think we kind of already do. Mm-hmm. But you also want to feel good about Gerard Mayo as your future head coach. And if they only win 3 games, I mean, are we really going to feel good about Gerard Mayo as your future head coach? I know I won't. So I think there's much more value in winning five or six games and having, say, the seventh pick, because you can still, A, you can still get a great player at seven, you can still trade it down and get good value, then win three games and get the second or third pick.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you all the way. And it's not a great draft coming up either from a multitude of positions. So I'm not even really sure if there is that anyone, somebody who is going to be your franchise savior. You've got the quarterback. Now find ways to surround him with talent. Purchase it, draft it, find it, sign it, develop it, whatever you need to do, by all means. And again, give him every chance possible to learn on the fly. 617-779-7937. Your calls on the current state of affairs for the Patriots and what you think is going to happen tomorrow in a game where the Patriots are 7.5-point dogs in Drake May's first trip to Miami Gardens in the House of Horrors. When we come back, we'll talk a little Hall of Fame. This week it was announced the 25 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Three New England Patriots are on that list. John and I will give our picks for who we think should be the Pat that next gets the call to the Hall. We know one thing, it won't be Mr. Kraft as well. We'll get into that too. It's Fitzy and Lyons featuring our producer, Tom, I won't bother butchering your last name, who's going to catch you up on trending sports.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's now? Patriots coach Gerard Mayo earlier this week. As a matter of fact, that was actually yesterday at his Friday media avail, when asked a number of questions about how the week went and what's going on this Sunday in Miami, but also the fact that for a 13th time, Patriots owner Robert Kraft has been denied entry into Canton, Ohio's Pro Football Hall of Fame as a special contributor. He was one of 25 semifinalists as well, going up against some very valid contributors, some significant names in the history of the National Football League and professional football, including John Facenda, the voice of NFL films, as your palms will thicken when you listen to him narrate the great highlights of old, John Lyons. So, you know, he faced an uphill battle to begin with. But I apologize, I don't even have the name of the guy. Here we go. And nothing like Googling on the radio.
Yeah, the guy that owned, what, the Canton NFL team for 4 years?
He helped found the NFL.
Yeah, that's great. He was a co-founder of the NFL. I'll give him that.
Okay, that's terrific, yeah. Ralph Hay. Good old Ralphie Hay. Ralph Hay, Art Modell among contributors semifinalists. Yeah, no, Ralph Hay is
Ralph
your...
Ralph Hay died 80 years ago.
He did.
By the way.
He hasn't been... You know, I hate to say it, but he's not going to be coming to the induction ceremony. I'm not even sure which members of the Hay family in the long line of descendants... You know, and may,
how many
may God
know
bless...
that he co-founded the NFL?
They probably don't know anything about him.
Great grandpa co-founded the NFL.
Here you go: that. Doug Williams, John Wooten, Art Modell, Robert Kraft, Buck O'Kilroy, Bud Adams, and of course, I mentioned the aforementioned John Facenda and John McVay. A lot of people that do have a place seeing their bronze bust in Canton and wearing around that fantastic yellow jacket. In a world where Jerry Jones is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and continues to do as Jerry does and do Jerry things and run his franchise into the ground, or at least make a mockery of it as pieces of it fall apart, literally landing on the field before getting their asses handed to them on Monday Night Football. I get it. He did a lot for the game. The modern flash and flair that he brought, you know, what was it? Not the Bad Guys One. What is the name of the Jeff Perlman book about the epic runs of those unbelievable Dallas Cowboys teams.
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, it's a phenomenal read. I think it's anyway, regardless of the title, like it's a
boys will be boys.
Thank you very much. Yeah. There it is. There it was. Good Google, my man. Always great to have a partner that supports you like that. Great, great, great read. And I get what he brought to the NFL and brought to the Dallas Cowboys, quote, America's team. This cocktail of jealousy towards Robert Kraft for what he's done and all the incredible accomplishments that he helped shepherd, keeping the team there, of course, and then forming the most awesome triumvirate in the history of the National Football League, maybe of all professional sports himself, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That, maybe all your dash gates, if you will, and the scandals that made people mad. So it's jealousy and it's anger. And then it's unfortunately the things that have been done in recent years with the reception to the Dynasty docuseries on Apple Plus and the lobbying and making it known how badly he wants it. I feel like if Mr. Kraft at all just sort of step away and let the silence, which can be golden, do the talking for him and his resume, LinkedIn, and the legacy at Patriots Place is more verbal than he, I feel like eventually he's going to get in, and I hope so during his living days, John, because he's more than just the guy that owned the Patriots. He's more than the guy that kept the Patriots from going to Hartford or St. Louis. All the labor deals that he negotiated, all the work with the TV deals, one of the reasons why the NFL has proliferated the way that it has, and hey, a narrative is only as good a lot of times as the bad, a hero's journey is only as good as the bad guy. Nobody was a better bad guy in American sports for 20 years than the Patriots. For all those reasons and then some, Robert Kraft needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I just think it's silly that people like Ralph Hay are getting in before Kraft. But then again, like I said, a little bit less can go a a little bit less can go a long way in Mr. Kraft's case, I believe.
Yeah, look, I've had my criticisms of Robert Kraft in recent years, but for him to not be in the Hall of Fame, I think is ridiculous. And I think at this point, it's almost like, if you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm when Larry David had the spite store, it's like a spite vote. Like, they just don't want him in there because, I mean, look, as Patriots fans...
Haven't you won enough, Robert?
Right. We were here with the six Super Bowl championships. He's been to the Super Bowl 10 times as an owner. So as Patriots fans, we love that. But from an NFL league standpoint, he helped get broadcast deals done from the 90s all the way till recently. So he's been a big part of that for 30 years. He helped end a lockout in 2011. Remember, it was Jeff Saturday hugging him publicly at the end of that lockout. And he was a huge part of that. By the way, while his wife was on her deathbed, he was a big part of that. So I just think for him to not be in is really kind of ridiculous. And that doesn't absolve the criticisms that you and I and others have had of him in recent years. But when you look at some of the owners, especially that are in there, like, he's done more for the NFL than Jerry Jones has, and he's won at a higher level. I mean, you even look at the 49ers dynasty, right? Isn't DiBartolo in the Hall of Fame? Like, sorry, I said that wrong. But he's in the Hall of Fame, and Robert Kraft is, I think, a better owner, well, at least longer tenure, a better record, all that, than he is. So I think it's ridiculous. I think some of it is spite at this point because Kraft has campaigned for it and because, frankly, a lot of people out there just didn't like the Patriots winning every year. But I think he deserves to be in, not just what he did for the Patriots and keeping them in New England and overseeing a dynasty for 20 years, but just as much for the broadcast contracts, the growth of the league, the ending the lockout in 2011, like all of that is worthy of someone being in the, especially again, it's not like he's getting in over Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. Like it's a separate category. It's a contributor category and he's eligible. Like he should get in.
Couldn't agree with him more, John. And I just wanted to make peace on that before we get into the rest of the players that are up for admission into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah, he does. And I hope he gets to enjoy it sooner rather than later as well, as opposed to someone else having to accept the award and, you know, the bust and the jacket later on as well. So we'll see how that goes. As far as the rest of the Hall of Fame, so now you have three Patriots on this list. Let's see, NFL Hall of Fame nominees. It's quite a list that they have this year, like a lot of really good, players are on the list of semifinalists. I'm not sure exactly how many are going to ultimately make it, but when you run down this list, like guys like Eric Allen, he's good, not going to be in my Hall of Fame. This is his fifth time as a semifinalist. Jared Allen, good, not a Hall of Famer. Anquan Boldin,
no.
You know, Antonio Gates, I think Antonio Gates deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, for sure. Luke Kuechly, pretty damn good.
Short career, but, I mean, he was the best at his position during that career.
Yeah, and the best at holding Gronk in the end zone on Monday Night Football. Still not over that.
2013, I didn't forget.
Piss me off.
Tom Brady swore on TV.
You know who's good? Yeah, oh, and then some. And he was doing it on TV, and we were all doing it back home as well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you someone who is going to get in this year, and it drives me nuts because he only deserves to go in for two flipping games, is Eli Manning.
Yeah, not a Hall of Famer.
Nope. He's going to get in, though, just
to be honest.
Yeah,
because he's a quarterback, and they won two Super Bowls, including the undefeated year. Like, you could almost say if the 07 Patriots were not undefeated and Manning still won, like, maybe he wouldn't get in anyway. But because you beat the undefeated team and then won another one, but I don't know. Not a Hall of Famer to me.
Steve Smith Sr., who said this week on Julian Edelman's podcast, Games with Names, that he almost went to the Patriots, but it would have taken Edelman either going to Baltimore or the Giants when he was a free agent, and then Steve Smith would have been signed by the Patriots. That would have been an interesting turn of events right there.
Glad Edelman stayed.
Same.
Smith's a Hall of Famer, but just Edelman was younger.
Should be.
He was a bigger part of, you know, what they did moving forward than I think Steve Smith would have been.
Ice up, son. Ice up. Anyway, there's a bunch more names on there, but there are, like, Richmond Webb. Come on now. Are we being serious? However, there are three Patriots on this list. You have Rodney Harrison, nominated as a semifinalist for the fourth time. Vince Wilfork, nominated as semifinalist for the fourth time. And first-time nominee because he retired just but 5 years ago. It's got to be 5 years before you're eligible. Adam Vinatieri, place kicker for the Patriots for 10 years and then for 14 years for the Indianapolis Colts. First time as a semifinalist, four-time Super Bowl champion. So, John, there are one, two, three, four place kickers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is a shame because there should certainly be more than four. One day soon, hopefully, there will be more. And there's but a punter. I'm sure you can name the one punter.
Ray Guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the freaking college award is for the best punter in the nation is named after him. And it's also one of the 10 greatest names in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, his parents really thought a lot about that name. Oh, yeah, let's just call him Ray Guy. Yeah, whatever.
Came from a long line of guys, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, is that old man Guy's kid? Oh, yeah, you should see the stick on this kid. Wow, man, he can drop it in the five. What a guy. So between the three, I think if I can power rank them in the order of which I believe they should go, I would say it's one Vinatieri, two Rodney Harrison, three Vince Wilfork. Let us legislate.
So I would go Harrison one over Vinatieri, and it's a razor thin for me. And I just think, to me, this is as much about Harrison getting screwed in previous years as it is about Vinatieri. Because just, you know, here's a quick rundown on Rodney Harrison. Two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time first-team All-Pro. He was also a second-team All-Pro. 34 interceptions, 30.5 sacks, which, by the way, is a record for defensive backs. He's one of two players in NFL history to have 30 sacks and 30 interceptions. The other one's Ray Lewis, who got in the Hall of Fame 6 years ago. He also has 15 forced fumbles, 7 playoff interceptions, 2 playoff forced fumbles, and for good measure, Fitzy, he even has a kick return touchdown. And Bill Belichick called him the second-best defensive player he ever coached behind Lawrence Taylor. So, to me, like, Rodney not already being in is a freaking joke. So, he needs to go in, and then maybe and by the way, Vinatieri can get in, too, in the same year. But I would put Harrison. Right. So, I would put Harrison first, though, if I had to pick one, and then Vinatieri, and then not to undersell Wilfork. It's a close third. But I would put Harrison first, and, again, I think him and Vinatieri, different positions, but have pretty close qualifications. I just think Harrison, a little more impactful across 60 minutes of the game, and it's mostly about him already being screwed in previous years.
15 years in the NFL, which is bananas for a safety to be able to play that
especially
long.
Especially one that hit that hard.
That hit that hard, that played that ferociously and that intensely. 9 years with the Chargers was almost Hall of Fame worthy, and then he came and had a second act with the Patriots, replacing Lawyer Malloy, not being loved in town because he just took out, or rather replaced someone that was beloved, but obviously that wasn't his decision, steps in, plays at an insanely high level, maybe the best football of his life for the next several seasons. Forget about the play that took place in Arizona February 1st, 2008.
That was Asante Samuel's fault, by the way.
Thank you very much. Catch the ball, Asante, is what I should probably print on my next T-shirt.
Watch back, I know everybody loves to be an All-22 guru. If you go back and watch the helmet catch play, Asante Samuel was in coverage and drifted off to David Tyree. Fun fact.
Oh, great. So that's Dave. So two plays that he made that he butchered on that drive. Awesome. Anyway, I don't want to get lost in those weeds because we're trying to stay more positive here. Asked last December about Rodney Harrison. Bill Belichick said, why does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Everything. Best safety I've coached. A couple other ones I've coached that are in the Hall of Fame. Fantastic player, person, competitor. Could do it all. One of the most versatile players I'd ever coached. Could cover, could play corner, great blitzer, great tackler. Hard to block in the running game. Very explosive. Whatever it was, he was a thumper. I agree. And you know what it is? Just the same way we were talking, there's probably a little spite and a little jealousy as far as Mr. Kraft goes. With Rodney Harrison, this has to be, I'm not putting that dirty player in.
Yep.
He came after people's knees. He hit too hard. He was known as a cheap shot artist. Like, no, that's it. Guys, it was a different game back then. There were a lot of people that hit, you know, Ty Cobb shouldn't be in the Baseball Hall of Fame then. If you guys want to go this way, and we're going to base it on personality and the intensity of their style of play. That's stupid. There are people that used to hit harder, clothesline people, pile drive them, do things we don't even want to know about in the scrum of the old NFL when everyone was hopped up on goodness knows what. But Rodney Harrison deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That said, I still say because of the reputation he carries, hopefully he'll get nominated again next year. I don't know if he's going to make it in this year, but to me, Adam Vinatieri needs to go in first ballot to prove a point that there's no special teams bias. And as far as like clutch plays, obviously, the kick in the snowball, there is no dynasty without him saving our bacon in that game, kicking a freaking cylinder block, like a cement block, 45 yards, about 9.5 feet in the air to keep that game going on Tuck Rule night. Also,
I believe Bill Belichick called that the best single football play he's ever seen.
And he's not wrong, and also not prone to hyperbole. I think he's seen a couple.
It was on like one of their, I don't know, championship DVDs or something, but I believe he said it was the best single play he ever saw.
And then, obviously, the 48-yarder to split the uprights in Super Bowl 36. Hey, what if he misses that? What if it's not? Yeah. I mean, that would have been good from 68. That was such a pure
Super
kick.
Super Bowl 38 at one on his leg, too.
And also, in the divisional game against the Titans, when the actual temperature was zero in that playoff run, he made a 41-yarder to put the Patriots up by three. And then, of course, Drew Bennett drops a Hail Mary later on from Steve McNair. They survive that one and go on.
In that AFC Championship game, didn't he kick like four or five field goals against the Colts in that 24-foot? It was something weird like that because they scored 24 points, but I think they only scored one touchdown.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a messy game.
Yeah, because there was a safety, a touchdown, and the rest was. So point is, I mean, he helped you win that game too.
What else do you need? Like, what other kind of what other level of impact? What other contributions do you need from a football player, whatever position he played? Don't forget also, when Bill Parcells drafted him back in 1996, he tackled Herschel Walker on a kickoff, and Parcells said, he's not just a kicker, Adam Vinatieri is a football player.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, you look at him, you look at Harrison, those are guys that kind of, in a way, supercharged the Patriots dynasty, because you knew whenever you needed a key kick, Vinatieri was going to get it. And when Harrison came in, the Patriots had won a Super Bowl a couple of years before, but they had gone 9-7 the year before. He came in, brought a totally new attitude to their defense. I think you can argue their 03-04 defense was the best defense they played the entire dynastic run. Yep. He was a major reason for that. And, of course, Vinatieri was making big kicks along the way. And Will Fork, he added to that. But I think those two guys especially, Harrison supercharged things, and Vinatieri was right there, and you knew – all you had to do was get in range in a close game, and you were going to win.
If the kick mattered, if everything was on the line, during the double dynastic run, and again, Vinatieri was only here up till 2005, and Belichick made a terrible decision.
Should I say that Gostkowski was better, or would that get me banned? I think his percentage is a little bit better.
He's not.
And Vinatieri did miss a couple field goals in Super Bowl 38 before. Ooh,
he did, so. but when it mattered most.
Yeah, I know. I'm just.
I know. No, of course. No, Gostkowski had a higher, completion percentage. He was technically here longer as well than Vinatieri. And yeah, we're ignoring 14 years of Vinatieri's incredible career, where he wins one Super Bowl out in Indianapolis and was a high level kicker, making a smart decision by him. First team that offers him money while Belichick was dinking around with the salary and a contract. He says, no, don't wait around for Bill. I know the way Bill does these things. He takes the money, kicks in a dome. It prolongs his career. Good for him. He was recently welcomed back as the keeper of the light at Gillette Stadium, and the crowd gave him a massive standing ovation that was well-deserved. I want to make sure. I still say Vinatieri first and foremost because of the impact. I completely understand why you say Rodney Harrison first, because he's been ignored all these years and people are jealous or hateful toward him because of the way he played. And, hey, listen, Vince Wilfork in our estimation, Hall of Fame level, Hall of Fame worthy as well.
I think he'll get in, just maybe not right away.
Bingo. I just don't see it happening now as well. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When we come back, we'll take a quick leak at week 12, what's going on tonight and Saturday night, college football. Anything else we can put a bow on and button up as we finish up another awesome edition of Fitzy and Lyons, Hall of Fame worthy, if I say, here on WEEI. And all Boston sports fans, Patriots fans as well, that's University of North Carolina head football coach Mac Brown, the legendary Mac Brown, who was Drake May's coach for a couple of years before he matriculated his way to the Patriots via the draft. Gave him a little love in the postgame. Said also, John, that he was going to be not a flag bearer. He was going to be the honorary captain for UNC. If it was a home game for the Patriots this weekend, he would have attended and he would have been the honorary captain. How humorously awkward do you think that would have been? Like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing rooting against BC? You play for the Patriots now, guy. What are we doing down there, Drake?
And then Bill O'Brien could have looked across the field and say, man, this is what I could have had last year, right? Something like this, you know?
Yeah, or if I knew you were going to get Drake May, I don't care who was coaching or what the environment was going to be like, I would have stayed and not have bolted for Ohio State and then banked a U-turn and come back to coach BC.
Yeah, exactly. That was quite a U-turn, by the way.
Yeah, that was a hell of a U-turn. By the way, what a wagon
also,
Ohio State looks
like.
Can I make
like a side note?
Yes, sir.
If you watch this UNC-BC game today, Drake May might have been Superman if he dealt with this stuff last year at UNC and still put up decent numbers. And
yeah.
I don't think – and we talked about this during the draft process, but new OC and QB last year, I think that did not help him.
No, and that's one of the reasons why, even though – it's not the smoothest operation right now in Foxborough. Why I feel like, you know, I'm not sure about Covington. We'll see if he's actually one of the names mentioned in the new head coaching cycle. As Tom Pelissero on NFL Network said, what's going on with Mayo? I think AVP probably sticks around for one more year because you don't want to give him three different offensive coordinators in 3 years. Don't worry about calling around the league, Mr. Kraft. That's one thing we can all tell you will not be good for your rookie quarterback's growth and development. Great job today, John. Pleasure sharing the mic with you. Great job holding down the fort till I could get back to the homestead and fire up the old talking device. You can follow him at The Real John Lyons, JonLyons, on the social medias as well. John's on during the week as well with KJ Carson. And when else are you on during the holidays, big guy?
So I'll be on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thanksgiving morning for a couple hours, and I'll be filling in for Greg Hill on Black Friday.
Love it, and I'll be on right after you with Mego, doing everything I can during the week as well. Enjoy the college football. Enjoy week 12 in the NFL. Let's go, Patriots. Nice job, Tom. Take care, everybody. Have a safe night. You've been listening to Fitzy and Lyons on EEI.